Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. John here with you today for a solo episode. I'm without my usual partner in crime, Ben, because today I'm doing a website teardown on a real live high-ticket dropshipping business. So a website teardown, I do these from time to time on the podcast. I think the last one back was around about episode 274 or something like that. But it's where I put a real live high-ticket dropshipping business up on the screen that has been volunteered to me by, you know, somebody out there running a high-ticket dropshipping business. And I kind of walk through the site on the screen and give my reaction to it. What do I like? What do I dislike? What would I change? What would I keep? What would I improve? Sometimes I give thoughts about the niche itself that the business is operating in and things on the marketing side. So today in this episode, I'm going through a website called Green Light Heating. And you can follow along if you want to check out Green Light Heating at greenlightheating.com. And thank you very much to Andrew, who volunteered his site for this. I love these website teardowns. I think if you're somebody who's at the start of your journey, particularly with high ticket dropshipping, you're looking to learn how to build a great site, how to set things up, what things should look like, what they should not look like, perhaps. These episodes can be very instructive for you in getting yourself pointed in the right direction. And even if you've been doing it for a little while, like Andrew has, this site is live. It's making sales in the US. Even if you're a little bit further down the track, you'll probably still find plenty of little nuggets and tidbits of information in here that you can take action upon in your own high-ticket dropshipping business. So without further ado, let's dive in to the website teardown. So anyway, we've got the site on the screen now. As you can see, if you're watching along on video, the site is called Green Light Heating. And the URL, if you want to follow along, is greenlightheating.com. And of course, if you're in the US and you would like to buy any of these products or in the market for any of these products, definitely, hit Andrew up and, get it here. So I've come into the homepage here. Of course, we're looking at desktop. I might shrink this down from time to time through the live and put it into mobile view. But we've got come to the homepage. And so the first thing I see on the homepage, and I've left it on here. Usually I close these things immediately. I've remembered to leave this one up. So I loaded the homepage, and the first thing I saw coming into the homepage, it loaded pretty much immediately, was a pop-up, which is not a great practice. So the first thing that I would change with this is I would get rid of this pop-up. I don't like it. I don't like that it loads when the page first loads, and I don't know if this loads on every page on the website when people first land on the site, so product pages, for example, or collection pages. I've obviously come into the homepage. If this is loading on product pages or collection pages, that would be a big problem, particularly if you're sending in Google Shopping traffic. Nothing is going to put people off quicker than a pop-up that loads instantly. So that's the first problem with it. The second problem is that from an SEO perspective, at least Google does not like what they call interstitials, which is the technical marketing term for such a thing, something that obscures part or all of the screen immediately upon page load. So that's the second problem with this. And the third problem is it's just a bad opt-in. So if you actually look at the opt-in itself, sign up for our mailing list for new products and flash sales. We don't want you to miss a thing. You know, I mean, that's not the sort of pop-up that is generally going to get a lot of action, right? It's not specific, really. People, you know, like to get somebody to opt into your email list at a high rate, you need to be offering something that provides them a very specific and fairly immediate outcome. So the problem with this is that it doesn't do either of those things. So new products and flash sales is very general in nature. And what new products? What are going to be the nature of the sales maybe? When are they going to happen? Like you just don't know. And so if I'm in the market and I'm here now because I want to buy one of these products fairly soon, I'm not really going to be attracted to just signing up for new products in the future. I mean, I don't really care about that. And like sales might get me a bit more interested, but not really. So because I don't know when they're going to be. I don't know if they're going to be on products that I want to buy. I don't know if the amount of the sale is something that's actually attractive to me. And so while I do, I'm a massive proponent of email marketing and growing an email list and all of that sort of thing. If you're going to do it, you've got to do it right. So with pop-ups, basically there's only two ways you should really utilize them. The first one is have them display once somebody has been on your site for a longer period of time. So a period of time, probably 20 seconds plus, or if they've scrolled a certain way down the page and indicated that they're interested. So that's the first way. The other way is on exit intent. So if somebody has come onto your site and they've, you know, looked around a bit, they've done whatever they're doing here, and the browser detects that they're going to leave, which is usually by if they start scrolling up here, I don't know if you can see my little cursor on the screen, start scrolling up to go to close the tab or something like that, it can detect that and show a pop-up to try and grab your attention and re-engage you. So those are the only two times you should use a pop-up. You know, email opt-in forms these days are much better if they're actually baked into your site in particular locations. And we might look at some of where those could be as we go through looking at this site. But for anybody who's thinking about growing an email list and all that sort of thing, this is not something that I would recommend. So let's click past that. Get into the homepage here. Now, of course, if you're high ticket dropshipping, you know, the homepage is great. It's when you've got a newer business, it's not the most important page on your site, right? Your product page is your most important page on your site. But, you know, the homepage should give people a sense of what your business is about, who you serve, like as in if your ideal customer is looking at your website, it should speak to them very clearly. And also it serves as a navigational hub, of course, for your business to send people off to things that, you know, most people might be interested in finding or reading about. So having a look here, you know, I like the, at first glance, I like the overall sort of design, the color scheme, you know, branding is fine. I like that it's very simple. It's very clean. I'm not a fan of, unless it's incredibly niche specific, I don't like websites that look like, you know, a three-year-old got the crayons out and colored it in all the bright colors and all that sort of thing. It's not really necessary. This is nice and clean. It's subdued. That's good. It's professional. It feels professional. Text is fairly clear, easy to read. So on those basic kind of boxes that you're looking to tick, I would tick those. We've got a bit of USP stuff going on up the top here in this top bar, free shipping on orders over $99 and easy returns, text or call, phone number for questions. I like that, you know, for a high ticket drop shipping business, it's particularly for a newer business, and this business is what I would class, it's not a new business, but it's still reasonably new. I think Andrew's probably still in his first 12 months of operating it from memory, but it's making sales, which is good. You want to be encouraging customer service as much as you can. Now, of course, for a lot of people who are thinking of getting into dropshipping, it might be a shock to hear me say that. You might be thinking, oh, well, you know, I want to get into one of these businesses to sit on the beach and drink cocktails and never speak to a customer. Well, sad to say, you're not going to have much luck with that. So repeating your call to action around getting in touch in the beginning particularly is just going to help you. You're going to make more sales the more customers you talk to, right? And so when people are on your site, making it as bleedingly obvious as possible about how people get in touch with your business, and then also tying that into potential benefits of getting in touch with your business is a very good idea. So kind of think about that as we go through this. So, I mean, that's nice to see. Moving on down, we've got the menu. You know, this business, as you've probably deduced by now, sells heating products. So we've got like fireplaces, outdoor fire features, and those are then categorized into electric fireplaces, gas fireplaces. I mean, that seems fairly straightforward to me from a navigation perspective. We've got links here, the little learn to, you know, blog posts and SEO stuff that Andrew's been working on. We've got the ability to shop by brand, which is cool. Accessories and some stuff about the company, shipping, all of that sort of thing. So, I mean, that all makes sense to me. I don't really see any issues with that. Same for the little menu we've got along the top here. That all looks pretty good to me. Moving down, we come up for the hero image of the site. Now, I'm not so sure about this. Now, once again, I don't know exactly the ideal customer that Andrew is targeting here, but to me, I mean, I like having the big hero image on websites. I think it's an opportunity for you to call out your ideal customer and demonstrate how your site is here to solve their problems, you know, via imagery and a little bit of text. So first responder owned and operated, particularly in the US, is a good thing to advertise if your business is that. Right, not everybody is going to be, but if you are, same as if you're a veteran, for example, saying that you're a veteran owned and operated business is a great thing to do in the US. You do it in other countries as well, but I think particularly in the US, you know, a lot of people, you know, support that sort of thing, and so that's great. We've also got it up here in the top here. There's a first responder and military discount. Once again, not an uncommon practice in the US, so I'm all for that, of course. But I don't know that I would make that my hero image for my site. Like, I mean, it's as a point of differentiation in your market, it might be that, which is cool. And so I would definitely be making it part of my overall why buy from us picture, part of my USP. I just don't know that I would have it as the main thing when somebody lands on my page. I don't think there's anything wrong with it, but I don't know if that necessarily is going to appeal across the board to all of your ideal customers. So probably a small thing. Sign up for an exclusive discount, which takes us to a page where people can sign up, and presumably there's going to be a discount sent to them, which is a good idea. This is a good thing to do. Obviously, you're going to get people's contact details as well. So I would hope that Andrew, when people sign up to this, Andrew follows them up and actually has a phone call with them to see how the business can help them find, you know, what they're looking for and get the products they're looking for. So that's cool. Moving down, we see we've got USP-based stuff. Price match guarantee, find a better price, we'll match it, give us a call or text, blah, blah, blah. Bit of, you know, that's good to have there. Product navigation, that's all good. Main product categories. Remembering this page is really to get people going to different parts of your website to find the things that they need. You know, nice imagery here. I like the lifestyle type of images of a lot of these products. That's cool. This all makes sense. Getting some reviews in here. This is nice. Andrew started to get reviews. That's very good. Have them on the homepage for sure. You know, advertising a particular featured product, featured brands. Featured brands, I would probably change this, particularly in the US. There is, you know, a lot of people will, the authorized dealer thing actually can carry some weight with customers, saying we're an authorized dealer for the following brands. Honestly, I don't know why, because I don't know why that is. Maybe it's got to do with warranties or something like that. You don't really see it outside of the US that much, but inside the US, definitely saying authorized. I would change this just to be we're an authorized dealer or retailer of the following, you know, awesome brands, blah, blah, blah. And these are the brands on the site. Reiteration of the USP. That's cool. Self questions. Yeah, that's all good. Bit about the blogs. Missing an image on that blog there. So I'd probably fix that up. It looks a little bit messy when you do that. And then so on. The footer looks great. Yeah, that's all good. Yep. Cool. And see, down here, we're using the authorized dealer. Why buy from an authorized dealer? So if you're going to make that part of your argument, I don't know that it's a big USP thing because I can't imagine there are many actual serious competitors that this business has that are not authorized dealers, but there is a thing around that. So I would change, if you're going to use, like talk about this in the footer, I would probably, yeah, change some language here. So that's cool. Going to move on here. Not a bad homepage. I overall like it. I think it's going in the right direction. So good job to Andrew on that one. Hey, Stephanie, nice to see you. Thanks for joining in. All right, so let's jump over to a collection page now. All right, so I can see, yikes. All right, so Andrew on this site has got, well, it's going in the right direction here, I think, but maybe not quite hitting the mark. So collection pages, which on most high ticket dropshipping businesses, most of the collection pages are going to be product type focused. So you can see here, the collection pages are electric fireplaces, gas fireplaces, water vapor fireplaces, wall mounted fireplaces. So they're product categories. Same for these here. And so a lot of your collection pages are going to do some of the heavy lifting in the SEO space. So search engine optimization, which is probably the biggest traffic strategy for high ticket dropshipping businesses. It's not paid ads, it's SEO over time. In the beginning, we focus a lot on paid ads because it's instant, you can get it rolling very quickly and start making sales there. Start building some revenue, building some profit. But realistically, over the course of 12 months, 2 years, SEO is going to overtake that as your most important traffic strategy and outgrow it as well in most markets. And I'm yet to see this not be the case. There is more traffic for your business organically than there is for paid traffic. And that's because of profit margins and things like that, right? You can only ever acquire, any business on this planet can only profitably acquire a set amount of paid traffic, right? Beyond which you have to push so hard that it becomes unprofitable. It's true for any, the levels of that are different business to business, but it's true for any business. Whereas you can acquire more organic traffic because of the nature of the overhead associated with that. So your collection pages are important for SEO. They are pages that are actually going to rank in a lot of cases for search terms that have some volume behind them. Whereas product pages, once again, here's a little tip. Product pages are not the focus of your SEO strategy. Product pages play an important role in the overall SEO strategy, but we're not really actually trying to rank product pages for high volume search terms. We're trying to rank collection pages. We're trying to rank, you know, content pages for the high volume search terms. And so what that means is that in order to for your collection pages to rank well, assuming you've done the right keyword research and all of that sort of thing. And we've just added a whole bunch of new learning around how to do keyword research, how to find the right keyword for the right page into our Dropship Breakthrough program. So dropshipbreakthrough.com/join if you want to get in on that action and actually learn how to do SEO right. Assuming you've done that right, you need content on your collection pages, right? So if you've got collection pages that are just, a title, and then this stuff down here, just the product, product, I don't know what you call this, like the grid of products, you know, and that's all your pages are. They're not going to rank very well because a page like that is thin content. There's no content on the page. There's no context on the page for Google. There's no value there. And so Google looks at it and it's like, well, this is just another collection page of fireplaces. This adds no value to the internet. Because there's already going to be collections of fireplaces out there. And so you do need to have some content on your collection pages, and you can format that in different ways. And I know a lot of people get their knickers in a twist over this, and they think, oh, but if I put content on there, the customers won't see the product straight away and they'll jump off my site and leave. And that's just not even true. You know, that's an assumption that people cast onto websites who, and it's always people who have no actual experience with ranking websites and selling stuff online. So Andrew, I can see here, is having a go at getting extra content onto his collection pages. However, I don't think it's quite right. Haven't really looked at how this is loaded on here, whether it's just built into the theme or whether you're using like a page builder type app to do it. But I'm a fan of doing it. I'm not a fan of how it's done. So when you do this, with the content on collection pages, like, you got to put some content on there. So the next question is, okay, so what content do I got to put on there? And the answer is, think about where the customer is in their customer journey at that point in time, right? This is the answer to what you should put on there. So somebody who is trawling through, looking through your collection pages, they've come to your site. Maybe they landed on this page. Maybe they landed on a product page and they've come back and started looking through collections. It's somebody who is in the market. Yes. They don't know what product they want to buy yet. They don't know exactly what product they want to buy. If somebody knows exactly what product they want to buy, as in the brand, the model, et cetera, et cetera, they're going to go to a product page and that's where they're going to be, right? They're probably going to put that brand and whatnot into Google, and they're going to get to your site that way. So they're not going to come to this page necessarily. People who are coming to this page and looking through, you know, just different brands of the same type of product, there's somebody who's like, yeah, man, I think I'm interested in an electric fireplace, but I don't know which electric fireplace is the right one for me yet. I'm still trying to make that decision. And so that in the customer journey, the person is solution aware, but they're not product aware, right? So your sole job, you know, you've got to put content on the page for SEO purposes. And it's got to be relevant and keyword researched and all of that sort of thing. But it also needs to serve the customer at the same time. And you can do both things with the same content, right? Because if you do the stuff for the customer, it's probably naturally going to answer the SEO questions you need to answer, right? And so your question really is for the content here. Okay, so somebody's on this page, they want to buy it, they think they want to buy an electric fireplace, but they don't know which one they want to buy. How can I help them make that decision? And the way you have to think about this is, if this was a physical retail store, because literally when you're doing a high ticket dropshipping business, your store is the equivalent of a niche specific department store. Like this is what you are basically. This is how you have to think about it. You're a retail store that stocks a whole bunch of different brands, right? Of the same categories of products by and large. Like these stores have existed forever, right? In a physical sense, we're just the online embodiment of the same thing. So think about the physical retail store. When somebody walks through the door, you know, they start looking around and doing all that sort of thing. If it's a decent business and it's got good staff in there, which is an assumption, it's not always the case, somebody's going to approach the customer and they're going to say, hey, how are you doing today? Can I help you with anything? Now, yes, some customers might say, no, I don't need any help, just to make that person go away. But you know, that salesperson is going to talk to the customer and they're going to ask them some questions to get a sense of what the customer actually needs. Okay, so you need an electric fireplace. Well, what are some of the differences here? Like, they look different. They're different sizes. You know, maybe some of them are recessed and some of them are not. They have different things in them. Some of them have like crushed ice rocks and you know, all of this sort of stuff. Some of them have a frame around them. Some of them are just a glass front. Like there's differences between these products. Some of them have like logs in them and some of them don't, right? So the salesperson is going to like start talking to the customer. They're going to ask them some of the common questions, common things that people need to decide when they're buying an electric fireplace. Like, what size do you need? Oh, cool. Okay. You know, did you have any thoughts about what you want it to look like? Oh yeah, cool. Are you working with a budget here? You know, are you looking to fit within a price range? So the salesperson is going to ask them a number of questions, and then they're going to go, okay, cool. Well, based on your answers, this product over here is the product for you. You don't need to worry about all the other shit in this store. You need to worry about that product right there. And the customer's going to go, oh, thank fuck. You've made my life so much easier. I don't have to wade through all of this shit to work out what is actually the product that I need, right? And that's your job with that's still your job with an e-commerce business, right? Some people think customers come to collection pages and they just love to look through all these products and click into this product page and then go back and then click into this product page and then go back to try and work out which one is the right product for them. No. Customers' attention spans are incredibly short. What they want you to do is help them in the smallest amount of time possible, in the least amount of clicks possible, to find the right product for them, to solve their problem so that they can get to the outcome that they're ultimately on your site to achieve, which is, it's not even to own the fireplace. It's to get the feel of having that fireplace in their home, to stand there and look at it and go, oh yeah, shit, that's cool. Or, wow, all of my neighbors are going to think I'm better than them because I've got this awesome fireplace. Like literally, status is a big thing for homewares for a lot of people, right? That's the outcome the customer is shopping for. So the quicker you got to get them there as quickly as possible. So your content on collection pages should be focused on answering those questions, right? On getting people, you know, customers don't want to go through all of these products. And look, there's more products. Look, there's going to be more products later. Like, you know, the notion, look at the size of this collection. Look, there's more products. And there's nothing wrong with that per se. But like, you know, if somebody just wants a 36-inch, you know, built-in firebox, there is no point looking at all these other products that are not 36 inches. They're not going to buy them, right? Because they're constrained by size. So why show them? Why not let them and sort that out much earlier? Now, we do have some filtering here. People can filter. I don't think these filters are particularly useful other than maybe the brand filter and the price filter. Those are two things. In stock, out of stock, yeah, not particularly useful. These filters here, not particularly useful. But remembering, filters are not really going to help on mobile either. Most people won't use filters on a mobile device. They look good on a desktop, which is where we tend to design our sites. But the reality is 80% plus of your traffic is always going to be on mobile. So filters, not super useful on mobile. So it comes back to your content. So the question to me would be, you know, I might find some ways to subdivide this collection down. I would look at search traffic and see, like if I'm seeing a lot of people searching based on size, like the primary difference here to me is size, right? It's price and size. You've got 45 inch, you've got 40 inch, you've got 36 inch. So I want to get people to the right size as quickly as possible, right? So that might be sub collections. It might be filtering, whatever it is. But, you know, like I say, if somebody wants a really big fireplace, there's no point showing them small fireplaces, right? And taking up their attention, potential attention with that. But so the content that's here, is not necessarily bad. It's just too much. It's too much of a, it's not ideally presented. You know, you've got these images with white text over them. That's not particularly legible. And it's primarily driven by brand, a lot of this content, which is another problem for me. So if somebody is on this page, the general electric fireplaces for sale, or if they've landed here, let's say from a search engine, they don't know what brand they want, right? Generally, most of the people, at least, are not going to know what brand they want. And so giving them navigation by brands that they may not care about at this point is not useful for that person, right? So this is all driven by brand. Like then having these products a bit further down, which are like Sierra Flame, blah, 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 Dimplex Revolution Series, Touchstone Sideline. Like that's not answering my customer questions at this point. Like if I recognized these brands and I thought, oh, Touchstone is a great brand, you know, my friend told me I should go and get a Touchstone, I would have gone to Google and searched Touchstone electric fireplaces, and I would have come to a different part of your site because you got a brand page for that somewhere here, Touchstone Home Products, right? Or I would have been shown product pages and I would have gone there. But the person who is here, they're looking around in general. So, and for a lot of homewares, honestly, people don't care about brand that much. A lot of like, so people who care about brand and are brand aware or product aware, they're going to come to different pages on your site. A page like this, like who knows what their better questions on this page are going to be. Is it in my price range? Is the size right? Do I like what it looks like? So a large part, these, you know, maybe functional products, but they're also decorative products. It's interior. Right, interior design is as much about looks as it is about function. So what is the look that people want? What is the color that they want? Like a lot of customers will have very specific things. They'll be like, oh yeah, I was reading a magazine or I was watching this home design show and I saw this electric fireplace and it had like these logs and blah, blah, blah. I thought that was really cool. That's what they care about. That person doesn't give a shit about brand, right? They care, is it going to fit in my space? Is it the right price for me? Does it look cool? Blah, blah, blah. So realistically, your content on your collection pages needs to get people in to like find them ways. So here's our best budget model. Here's our best whatever model. Here's our best mid-price model. Or here's, you know, filtering for a 36-inch, you know, whatever. So you got to answer those questions. Like, if I'm on the electric fireplaces collection once again, I don't need this question answered. I don't need to know gas or electric, which is right for you. That's a piece of content, which it is, and you're linking to it, which is great. If that's my problem in my customer journey right now, I would have been on Google searching that, right? And this piece of content, if I click on here, it's going to take us to a blog post. Gas or electric, decide which fireplace is right for your home. Choosing the right fire. Well, there's a problem with this piece of content. Maybe we'll come back to that. You've got two headlines here. That needs to be fixed 100%. I'm just going to come back to this collection page. So linking to pieces of content from your collection page, if they're useful and they're related, is a good idea, right? But I wouldn't make it this big whole of screen widget kind of thing, right? I mean, this would be some lines, and we don't need this text because it's confusing. If I'm on the electric fireplace collection, I've passed this question. I'm past this, right? Similarly, why convert your fireplace to an electric fireplace? I'm past this at this point. This is an important question, no doubt, but this is a great, once again, a great question. I'm sure you could probably find this in Answer the Public or something like that for an SEO perspective, but you don't want to be going with this question on a collection page, right? Not on this collection page anyway. If you had a collection that was like all fireplaces, like it was all fireplaces and you had electric fireplaces and gas fireplaces and whatnot, then I might start talking about this a little bit. But once again, this is a piece of content. Leave it as a piece of content. This piece of content could link to your electric fireplace collection and send people there. But this is I think just an incorrect association or the wrong order for the customer journey. Are electric fireplaces safe to use in a home with children or pets? Now this might be a more useful point. Now, I might think that I want an electric fireplace because I've seen them and they look cool. And I have this question in the back of my mind, you know, are they safe to use? And you might have found this as a question once again in your keyword research, which is great. Fantastic to be serving that question and then linking out to a piece of content. But once again, I don't need this massive thing. So like some of these links, you know, up here should just be like, you know, like maybe just a few little links up here to your useful resources that relate to electric fireplaces. It shouldn't be all of these big images. I mean, the images are nice, but you got to strike a balance between actually serving the customer and then also letting them navigate the products. You know, whether that content is at the top of the page, this is a question that people ask all the time. I'm putting content on my collection pages. Can it be at the top? Can it be at the bottom? Can I have like a read more kind of concertina expanding thing? For as far as SEO is concerned, none of those things make a difference. Put it wherever the hell you want. But remember that there is no problem with having customers consume that first before they see the products. If it's good content and it serves the customer journey, it's actually going to help you make more sales because you're being the salesperson. You're actually doing the thing. You're trying to help people through their journey. So I would change this. I would do this. I think this is good practice. I would change it a lot though. I would get rid of these things here and really think about if somebody knows they want an electric fireplace, what are the factors that I need? What are the questions I need to answer for them? Not about electric fireplaces, but what are the questions I need to answer for them in order for them to get to the right product for them out of the electric fireplaces for this particular collection? That's what your collection page content needs to answer. And once again, not brand driven, in a not brand driven way as such. So I would be changing this up a lot. The rest of the page, of course, is fine. So we're going to move on here. I'm going to jump into a product page. Let's have a look at some product pages here. The all important product pages. So of course, if you've got one of these businesses and you're a bit earlier in the journey, your product pages are going to be some of your most important pages. And they're your landing pages. So you're running Google Shopping traffic, for example, which is one of our first traffic sources. People land on your product pages first. So this is where people are landing. They're obviously checking out the product. They're also getting a sense of your business. And is this a good business? Is this a business that I would be interested in buying from? And so that's something you want to be thinking about. So I'm going to click around to a few different ones. At first glance, the product page seems quite clear. We can see, you know, it's fairly easy to understand. And so, you know, coming at it from a design perspective and the information that's presented, I'm not going to do a deep dive too much into like SEO or anything like that. Just because that's a bit time consuming. But you know, from a design perspective, like I say, pretty straightforward. I think we can see that Andrew has added in some things here. You know, you can click, see our reviews on Trustpilot, that's cool. And we've got this kind of USP stuff in, which is good. So this is something I encourage people to do. It's something that in the beginning I see a lot of people miss doing or not doing properly. I think the reason that you do this, you know, a lot of people think, oh, well, product page, it's all about selling the product. It needs to be all about the product. That's absolutely true. Your product page is about selling the product. And so, but you're actually trying to persuade people of two things on your product pages. And they're equally important when you're a reseller. Right, so high ticket drop shipping, you're a reseller of other brands' products, which means you're usually not the only seller of those products. There might be some rare circumstances where you are the only seller of a brand. That does happen, but it's very, very rare. So there is competition. You're not the only person. Customers know you're not the only person, particularly if they're on Google Shopping, which is a comparison shopping engine. The point of Google Shopping partly is to help people discover products, but it's also to help people see products from different advertisers in the same space so they can compare them. That's the point, right? So when somebody lands on your page, they see your ad, they click on it, they go, yeah, I'm interested enough to click on that ad. They're going to come to the product page. Yeah, they need to see the product. They need to see it's the product that they clicked on. They need to see the information about the product that they're going to see to determine whether this is the product for them and they want to buy it and all of that sort of thing. But they also need to be persuaded that your business is the right business to buy it from, because they've probably got three other tabs open at the same time. I don't know if you're anything like me. If you're on Google Shopping and if you ever use it, you're going to click on more than one ad, and it opens up a new tab, and you're going to be looking at different things at the same time and comparing them. And so this bit that Andrew has introduced here, which you would call your unique selling proposition or something like that, or your offer, explanation of your broader offer, is about persuading the customer that his business is a better business than anyone else's business to buy this product from the businesses that also sell this product, this Dimplex electric fireplace. And so, I like that it's there. There's probably a few tweaks I would make to this. So firstly, I would space these out a little bit. It's a bit jumbled, and I don't know if this is going to work with the screen share. Oh, it is. If I do this, we can see the mobile version. We can get past the break point. So once again, it could be spaced out a little bit just to make it a tiny bit easier to read. Not a massive deal. I think it doesn't look too bad on the old mobile. So let's go back out to desktop here. So I'd space that out a little bit. And then I would add, I'd probably change a couple of these points up a little bit. So the price match guarantee, price is a really easy way to hook people into calling your business. I think particularly at the moment where maybe due to economic circumstances, people are a little bit more price conscious than they might have been at various points in recent history. I would change this up. I don't like price match guarantees in the sense of, oh, if you find a better price, we'll match it, because particularly in the US, because a lot of products are going to be MAP. The customer's not going to find a better price that's advertised. And I see a lot of people put in these price match guarantees, and there's another course out there where they teach this price match thing, which has about 10 conditions associated with it, which means you never ever actually meet it, and they only pay it like after you've bought the product. So it's like you got to buy the product first, and then if you see a better price, oh, we'll refund you the difference. And it's like, as a selling tactic, that is so stupid. It doesn't even make sense. Like, the customer doesn't care about what happens after they buy a product. They're interested in buying the product now. So it's kind of like completely backwards. So the only time I like to use price guarantees is if I can tie it to the customer calling my business. Remember what I said earlier is, like, the more people that you'll talk to in a high ticket dropshipping business, and in the beginning, yes, it's going to be you talking to them, but over time you're going to hire people to talk to them. So this is not going to be your life forever. But the more people you can do that with, the more you're going to sell. And seriously, if I look at our, people that we've, taken through the process of building and launching one of these businesses at Dropship Breakthrough, the people that do the best service. Like, it's so simple. It blows my mind. And they're actually proactive about getting people on the phone and serving them. Like, shock horror. So, but you need to find ways to actively do that. Customers don't just always pick up the phone, or they don't just always contact you. So the way I like to use price match is, actually, I would flip this up and I would say, get the best price today, call us on. And I would put the phone number along with it, this 855 number up here. Call us on 855, blah, blah, blah. In some cases, I will even make a banner that runs like along the top of the page that says that, and I'll make it a bright color so people really see it, right? If I really want to drive that. But I would do that. Make the phone number click to call. So it's a simple piece of code that you can wrap that phone number in that will make it clickable on mobile. So once again, somebody can just press it on mobile. It's going to blow up the dialer on their phone and they can call from there, right? Without having to type in your number or anything like that. So I would do that. I'd change that up to that. The first responder and military discount, active duty and retired. That's cool. Cool to have it there. As we've talked about that. There is that page, like how do people access that? So once again, you could do that as a call us thing as well, or you should at least link them to that page that is on the site where people enter their details and they get access to the code or however that discount is applied. So you should link that. You should have like click here to access or something like that. I would just say first responder military discount. Maybe I wouldn't worry about active duty and retired. I just have like click here for the details or something and link them out because you want them to go to that page anyway so that they can actually access the discount. Free shipping, that's cool. Easy returns, not satisfied, so that's good. Fast financing application. Is it Shop Pay? I don't know if Shop Pay is the financing. If that is, it's there. That's fine. If not, maybe I'm not seeing it because I'm in Australia. Please note lead times vary by brand. Curious text. Da 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 da. I mean that's not bad. That's not bad if you're in the situation where you don't have an easy application of. A way to implement on your product page the actual lead times. So in an ideal world, and at some point, and Andrew may not be up to that point in his business, but where you want to get to on your product page is having a section on here, somewhere around here, it might be below the add to cart sometimes, it could be above, that actually says your shipping timeframes. One of the biggest questions that customers have on any e-commerce business is what are the shipping arrangements? Like if I buy this product, when is it going to ship? When am I going to get it? What's the shipping time frame? And is there a cost? So Andrew's answered the cost bit because we've got the free shipping on US orders over $99, which is fantastic. But the next question people have is what time frame? Now some customers don't really care about time frames when it comes to high ticket products because people tend to plan these purchases out in advance and buy in advance and all of that sort of thing. But oftentimes they're not going to do that. They want to know they need it. They've got a time frame. I'm building a house and I need a fireplace, or I'm having a renovations happening and I need a fireplace and that my contractor can put in for me or whatever it might be. In other niches, you know, if you've got things that people buy that can be gifts, you really need shipping timeframes because if somebody's buying for a birthday or for Christmas or something like that, they absolutely want to know exactly when they're going to get that thing so that they know that they're going to get it before that birthday. And so that it's a really important question and you can answer it on your page. And so ideally you would have a widget built in here at some point that's like, this, you know, order today, ships in one day, usually reaches most customers in 5 days. Expect your delivery on this date. And that's dynamic and it changes. And you can do it by a different brand. So that's a coding thing. It's something you have to build into your website. No theme does that out of the box. But that's where you want to go. I think this is a cool little hook to get people to get contact details as well. And I like that it's text because that's a lower barrier than calling. Like you just text the number and say, hey, what's the lead time on this product? That's kind of cool. But it's not an immediate, it's not actually a benefit. So when I talked about the pricing and getting people to call, because that you're implying an immediate benefit for the customers that they're going to get offered a decent price, which you would actually have to do, right? Whereas here, knowing a lead time isn't real, it doesn't really confer a benefit. It's information and it's good to know. And for some customers, it may be important to know, but it's still not conferring an actual benefit. So I don't mind it. I don't love it. Moving on, you know, payment options, not really a fan anymore, to be honest. I think we long ago passed the period of time where we need to worry too much about this stuff. Like, you know, what e-commerce website doesn't offer MasterCard, Visa, or I mean, even Amex these days, I struggle to find anyone that doesn't. You know, maybe talking about obviously like your financing options, Klarna, that didn't come up for me. I'm guessing it's because I'm in Australia and this is a US-based business. Apple Pay, Shop Pay. I mean, these things are obviously less common. So you might focus more on those. But I mean, these things, to me, this takes up a bit too much room. I'm also a fan of knocking off the share this stuff. I mean, I don't really think people do that, to be honest. So there might be information that I would prefer to put in here. I don't know if there's, you know, with this business, the ability for upsells or additional products to go along with these main products, but I would put them in there rather than that stuff if I did have that. Or even I would build in more USP-related stuff in here rather than these, because I don't think you're selling based on this stuff that's here these days anymore. Moving down to the product page. I think looking at it, there's probably definitely some SEO work that could be done here, like a H2 heading here. And I'm not convinced that I would have these as separate products that are linked this way either. But and I would probably be focusing like key features and benefits. I mean, these are going to be, you know, like from a product description, I mean, these are going to be the main reasons that people buy something. So I think this product description, and look, Andrew might be at the stage here where he's working through some product descriptions and not others. And I've landed on a page where he hasn't done a lot of work yet. So my apologies if you've got other pages that you've done more on, but I would probably be bumping the features and stuff up above some of these product details and product dimensions sort of thing, and digging into them a bit more to sell the product and really dig into how this product solves the problems and provides the outcomes that people generally have when they want to buy one of these products. So I'm going to jump to another. I'm going to see if I can find a completely different product page and see if it looks any different. Sometimes I come onto these sites and so here we go. This site's had a little bit more done to it. So you can see we've got the kind of SEO focused H2 heading here, which is okay. Like features. So when you have a list of features, here's a little copywriting tip for anybody who's working on their descriptions. When you have a list of features, don't just say what the feature is, right? So, you know, in this case, like true linear design, what the crap does that mean? Right? Like literally, I might be somebody, John, dumb John knows he wants a fireplace. I know nothing about fireplaces. Nobody knows anything about fireplaces, right? This is not an enthusiast niche, unfortunately. Not to say that it's not one that can work, but this is not an enthusiast niche. So people don't know what this means. So you have to, whenever you list feature, benefit, outcome, right? That's the statement you make. For each of your dot points, tempered glass. So what? Why would I know what that means? Why would I even know what tempered glass is, right? Why is tempered glass good? And what is the actual outcome for me of having a fireplace with tempered glass? That's what this needs to say. So this product features tempered glass, which means that so you get blah. True linear design means that da da da, so that you get da 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 outcome in like plain speak. No technical terms, no lingo, no jargon. You know, safety screen, which means that people can't touch the hot glass so that your little children don't burn their hands and you have to deal with a screaming mess. The outcome is the important part. Once again, people don't care about features. People care about outcomes, but they need to understand the mechanism that the outcome is delivered by, which is the feature. Okay, so it's a logical thing. So you've probably heard me talk about in the past, people buy for emotional reasons that they need to support with logic. So the outcome is what delivers the emotion. And explaining the outcome, describing it, lets people imagine it in their head, but then the mechanism is the logic about how that feature works. So these things are all fine to say, but they need to be stepped out. Top vent design, which means that, so that you get X. You know, termination kit. Is Arnold Schwarzenegger coming out here and he's going to come out of my fireplace? Like, what does this mean? And so that's the next step for copywriting here is these things are probably all, you know, great. I mean, like the 40-inch thing, you might not need to explain that. But some of these other ones, you need to talk about, you know, why some of these things are good and that actually helps you to sell the product. Right. So remember, you're actually selling the product, yeah, that's where I'd be taking these five product pages. But look, I mean, the bones of the product pages are good. There's good stuff going on here. I like it. They could be improved, which is always the case. Everything can always be improved in some ways. And I've got the downloads here. I mean, these are all right. And so, yeah. All right, guys, we're getting to the end here. I'm going to wrap us up pretty soon. So if you've been watching along and you've got questions, post a comment about anything dropshipping related or anything like that. I'm going to answer some questions here. So, you know, if you've got questions, let me know. I'm going to keep just going through this site a bit more because I think, you know, we come to the blog. Haven't looked here. I like looking at this blog. Some of these pieces of content I've noticed are, so one of the things I see people doing a lot with blog posts is writing blog posts for the sake of writing blog posts lately. I've looked at a few sites lately and it's kind of like, completely like, for a high-ticket dropshipping business, there's not really much point creating content for entertainment purposes. Like just creating content. There's some exceptions to that. Like if you're in a space where you, like let's say you're selling grills and you're going to do things like recipes and stuff like that. Like that makes sense. But, you know, realistically, your content should be entirely keyword-driven. So you should be going out, and once again, dropshipbreakthrough.com/join will show you exactly how to do that in detail with examples. But like in any market, there's going to be heaps of customer questions or there's going to be people who are searching for best product category or product A versus product B or brand A versus brand B. These are the only things you should be writing content around in the beginning. You know, like to me, like revolutionize your outdoor comfort. The Rhino collapsible patio heater, elegance meets innovation. Like I just don't see how that's a piece of content you need. Whereas like how do electric fireplaces work? You know, I could see that being a customer question, right? I bet you if I went to Answer the Public or something like that, which is a great place to learn what questions customers in your niche ask, it's a good little tool, that one would probably come up, right? And so somebody who is potentially in the market for an electric fireplace, they may be asking that question, like literally, I've heard they're good, I know somebody, my friend's got one, and they rave about them all the time. How the heck do they actually work? Like, I mean, you know, I'm think of a fire, I think of wood burning and blah, 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 but in an electric fireplace, that's not what happens. So how does it work? I can see that. That could lead to a commercial outcome. And it's probably going to be a search query that you could rank for. It's probably fairly competitive, I would imagine, but it's a good one that you could rank for. So pieces of content like that, I think are good. Once again, Electric Schwank. That's a cool name. Revolution, how electric patio heaters are changing the game. Like, that doesn't feel keyword related to me. And so I just kind of think, like, don't spend the time doing that. Unless you've got a definitive purpose, which, like, posting content on social media is not a reason to create content for a high ticket dropshipping business, right? Other business models might be different, but for a high ticket dropshipping business, that's not the way. Once again, like, introducing the new 2024 Touchstone Sideline Fury electric fireplace kind of feels like your product page would rank for that search term. And so, you know, without digging too deep into this and actually looking at electric fireplaces versus space heaters, see, that seems good to me, right? I can see that, once again, being the type of search term, if you can actually see that customers are asking that on search engines, that's the sort of search term you could probably rank for pretty quickly. And once again, you can then lead people through a customer journey in different directions based off of that. So I think that's pretty cool. Some of those pieces of content, but then others here on the blog do not seem to be as valuable, or maybe even they just need to be refocused from a keyword perspective, because the titles themselves don't, for a lot of them, don't actively indicate what, you know, what the outcome is that they're actually doing for your business. All right, there you have it. The website teardown is complete. I hope you enjoyed that and got something out of it. Now, of course, if you're ready to start your own high-ticket dropshipping business and would like to do so with our assistance over at Dropship Breakthrough, with me and Ben alongside you, helping you as you go and showing you everything, every single thing that you will ever need to know to build, launch, and grow one of these businesses, you can do a couple of things. You can have a chat with our team. Head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/call. Or you can dive straight into our Dropship Breakthrough Launch Program, which is the best way to get started. And that program will give you everything you need to build and launch your business. And you can do that at dropshipbreakthrough.com/launch. Once again, hope you enjoyed the show today, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business. John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.